Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Special technique of shadow boxing.
Yo, what's up? What's going on? What's good? This is the November 8th, 2020 edition of the Boxing Source Radio Show. I am your host, James Bell, the leader of the Boxing Source on social media. You can catch boxing articles and more at theboxingsource.net. You could also follow us on social media. We are on Facebook through The Boxing Source. We have an Instagram page, The Boxing Source. Follow us on Twitter at Boxing Source 2. And we also have this particular podcast being simulcast on YouTube. So you could go on the YouTube page and also check us out there. So number to dial to join in on the boxing talk is 347-237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. Press the one key to get on cue and you'll be able to talk live on the show. We're going to be covering a few things here on this particular episode. We did have the fight card that was over in Florida on Saturday. You also had the Florida Boxing Hall of Fame weekend over in the Tampa, Florida area over this weekend. We also did have action over in Los Angeles and in Philadelphia. And in Rock Hill, South Carolina, we're going to be mainly covering the shows in Florida and in Los Angeles. If we have our panelists coming in, we probably won't be talking that much or very highly of the fight cards that did take place in Florida and in Los Angeles. But as a broadcast journalist, as the great Bobby the Brain Heenan says, I have to cover the sport and I have to give summaries of what happened in the sport. So that's what I'm going to do, right? All right, cool. Now, I'm going to go over this fight card that was in the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida. You did have a lightweight title bout take place between Devin the Dream Haney and Yuriorkis Gamboa. Of course, Devin Haney was coming in there, WBC lightweight champion. 24-0, Yuriorkis Gamboa with a record of 30-3, lost his last fight to Gervonta Tank Davis back in December in Atlanta. Devin Haney had three fights in 2019, was able to fight for the interim title, and after fighting for the interim title, he was able to be named the lightweight champion. But in his first defense, he did suffer a shoulder injury, was like out, pretty much like out of action. So this is pretty much like 1 year one calendar year since he had fought. So we're going to see like how he was going to do here in his fight against Yuriorkis Gamboa. I know that a good number of people had expectations for Haney in this particular fight. But we're going to go through this here, man. And, you know, Haney was able to score a near shutout decision, man. Go through 12 rounds against Yuriorkis Gamboa. I think Gamboa kind of like made it really difficult for Devin Haney to try to get a knockout in one sense. But in another sense, you did kind of see spurts of Devin Haney kind of like, you know, just coasting through rounds, being able to, you know, execute the jab and then throw the right hand. So on occasion, able to get some punches on the inside. But there was nothing that really fazed or seriously hurt Yuriorkis Gamboa over the course of this fight. We didn't see anything where Yuriorkis Gamboa was in danger of being knocked down. But, like I said, you still had Devin Haney being able to execute everything that he could do there in that ring in this main event against Yuriorkis Gamboa. Gamboa was holding and grabbing and grabbing and holding for the majority of the fight. As a result, he did end up losing a point for holding around 11. But I think that, you know, with that being said, if you have Gamboa holding, you should do something in order to make pay for attempting to hold or being able to break from the hold. I know that, you know, you have people there that say Devin Haney's 21 years old, but he also has 25 fights. He was able to start his career at the age of 17, having a series of fights in Mexico before he was granted a license to fight in the United States. So getting these fights against these, you know, guys like a Jose Iniguez or a Jorge Edgar Salas early in your career, that's where you kind of like build up your professional expertise, or going up against a guy that's 36 wins, 28 losses, and 2 draws in Daniel Valenzuela. That's where you kind of gain that experience, how you deal with people that, you know, may try to, you know, grapple you, grip you, and that type of thing. But most of those fights were kind of like where you saw him score knockouts, fairly early knockouts in a good number of those. So later on in his career, you know, going up against a, you know, like a Mason Menard or, you know, Hector Garcia, like that's where you kind of like would see if he's able to kind of put punches together and be able to seriously hurt his opponents and then end up knocking out or stopping his opponent. But as we've seen here, other than that stoppage victory against Abdullah, and then you had that fight against Antonio Moran, you really hadn't seen much of that from Devin Haney, but, you know, in spurts. So, you know, he's only, what has it been, since 2018 that he's been in 10-round bouts. So with him kind of like stepping up in competition or having more of the rounds in there for these fights, that's where you kind of see if he develops his, you know, either power behind his punches or kind of like be able to put punches together with speed, because he does have great speed there, but speed and power, you got to be able to put that together in order to, you know, take out many of these opponents. Yeah, I do know that a lot of people have been comparing this particular fight with Gervonta Davis's fight against Yuriorkis Gamboa. And, you know, a good number of people would say that, you know, Devin Haney does have a different style. That's true. But also, you have someone there in Yuriorkis Gamboa that if you, you know, go over the course of his career, yeah, he did have a knockout victory last year against Roman Martinez. But other than that, you know, he's had decision victories against, you know, Miguel Beltran, Alexis Reyes. He did, you know, score a majority decision victory there in 17 against Jason Sosa. But a lot of people felt like his performance against Robinson Castellanos kind of like showed where he is at his, this particular point of his career, you know. I mean, this is somebody that, you know, has been unsuccessful in going for a world title at lightweight. He's had, you know, titles at featherweight, had an interim belt at super featherweight, but, you know, nothing at lightweight. So that's kind of like been the gist of Yuriorkis Gamboa's career. And so here in this fight against Devin Haney, like, a lot of folks are, you know, seeing that you have some type of level of expectation with Devin Haney that, okay, he's supposed to wash Yuriorkis Gamboa. This is a fight where going into the fight, Devin Haney was a huge favorite over Yuriorkis Gamboa, and that I think a lot of people felt like he would be getting a KO victory there over Gamboa. But like I said, through two scorecards, Devin Haney was able to win every single round. In the last one, you had a 118-109 score. So what is it? Fernando Barbosa scored about, or at least like scored, what, one round there, you know, for Gamboa, which is kind of strange. I didn't see anything where Gamboa would be able to win a round, I guess, unless if it's like, what, round five or something. But even then, he didn't do enough in that particular round to, like, take the round from Devin Haney. But still, you have Haney there now at 25-0, defending the WBC lightweight title. We see what's going to happen in 2021. You know, I think that now it's basically what's going to happen at the 135-pound division. And apparently in the social media sphere, you have you have Devin Haney and Gervonta Davis going back and forth on Twitter. Now it says that, like, oh yeah, they've been going back and forth. Like Tank Davis has said, like, oh man, like he said, like, my daughter hit harder than the Devin Haney. Like, man, yo, that's yeah, that's crazy, man. And you know, they're talking about this, like, how much did you know, Tank Davis make at the age of 21? While, you know, here you have Devin Haney talking about he's making, you know, millions at the age of 21. But I guess they're trying to, you know, build some type of buzz to, you know, try to have a fight against each other. But you do have, you know, Gervonta Davis there as the guy at lightweight. That is, you know, at 26, but did have his pay-per-view fight against Leo Santa Cruz. And we saw how that the feedback from that particular bout, you know, with Tank Davis getting that six-round knockout and the amount of activity, social media activity that was there after Tank Davis got that knockout. So I think, what is it, he got about 200K to 250K pay-per-view buys from his fight against Leo Santa Cruz. and also getting attention from the knockout, so that knockout highlight got like lots of attention over the next week or 7 days. So you have Gervonta Davis having that type of momentum, and that's the thing that I think people kind of like expected here with Devin Haney. It was part of a conversation yesterday, is that in the lightweight division, like you had, last month, you had Teofimo Lopez being able to defeat Vasyl Lomachenko and become a unified champion at lightweight. Then at the end of the month or 2 weeks later, you have Gervonta Davis being able to score that knockout victory over Leo Santa Cruz to defend that WBA regular title at lightweight and have the super title at super featherweight. And so next 7 days, you have Devin Haney now as one of the guys that people are paying attention to in the lightweight division, going up against Yuriorkis Gamboa, who, like I said, already fought Gervonta Davis, lost to Gervonta Davis through 12 rounds. So, while he was able to score a near shutout victory, it's like, you got to see what we have as far as like how people react to Devin Haney's win. Shout out to Fighter IQ that's joining us on the YouTube stream, live stream. So you could, join us here on YouTube if you're listening live on Blog Talk. Like I said, you have Devin Haney, like, he was able to execute what he needed to execute there in the ring against Yuriorkis Gamboa. But, while I was watching the fight live, I was like saying, okay, Devin Haney is able to execute everything that he needs to execute, but where is his second gear, when it comes to taking out a fighter? Yes, he's been able to score knockouts. He's been able to do that, but if there's like somebody in the ring that people expect that doesn't really have much of a shot against you, you got to be able to do what you need to do in order to take that guy out. And you just didn't really see that out of Devin Haney there against Yuriorkis Gamboa. I think that, even though Gamboa has had an extended career back and forth in the lightweight division and as super featherweight, he's been a lightweight for a little bit, you got to be able to take those guys out. You got to be able to take them out, and Devin Haney wasn't able to do that. So we see here that he's kind of like ranked, he might be ranked a tad below. Of course, you have Teofimo Lopez there at the top. You might have Tank Davis there above Devin Haney. Through the point system in BoxRec, they do have, Tank Davis there above Devin Haney. I don't know if these things are not. It hasn't been necessarily updated as of yet, because they still have they do have Vasyl Lomachenko still up at the top-ranked position below Teofimo Lopez as the champ in the TBRB rankings. But they also do have Rancis Barthelemy there at number two and Devin Haney at number three. Tank Davis is ranked ninth in the lightweight rankings, but is at the top of the junior lightweight ranking. So that's interesting there that TBRB does have that as their particular rankings here at this particular point. But right now, making this attempt here, let's see if we can connect with the president of the Deontay Wilder Fan Club, Mr. Matthew Brown. Is that you checking in?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, we're in business. All right. What's going on, JR?
Oh, man, I know you're going through it, man. You're going through it. I know that, your squad ain't able to hit you up. You can't even
nope.
you know you can't even you know get your thing going down with your you know with your show folks. And I know that your women's been trying to hit you up. I know they mad as shit. No.
Yeah, it's over for me, man. It's over for me. You know what? This is karma for teasing Trump all week. Everything bad started happening.
No, I'm not even going to go there and give you the Deontay Wilder treatment. Oh man. On this particular show, man, we got to go through. As like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm a broadcast journalist, and I do have to cover the fight no matter what. And
oh, come on, why?
because I know that. You know, I have to do it. But listen, I know how you feel. You know how I know how you feel? Because I can sum it up just like this.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Exactly. Exactly. Yo, honestly, last night was the worst night of boxing in all time.
Like, you couldn't even, to have that much, to have those many fights on, and nothing, like, none of them moved the needle one bit. Nothing to kind of, like, give anyone any type of momentum. Nothing. And
not one.
It's kind of like depressing in a sense, man. That it happens that
you think
way.
Mike Brady gonna call in this week?
He might. He might call in this week. He did say
he watched anything from yesterday.
No, he said he did. He said he did. If you check the channel, we had a live discussion after the fights, and he was on, and
okay.
He did say that he was. You know, watching what was going on. So, kudos to him. Because he did watch what was going on. But, I struggled to, you know, get through that, pretty much that whole card on both ends, man. You know?
Yeah.
It was
bad.
Yeah, I just couldn't bring myself. So, but, you know what? Sometimes there are people that speak things into existence. And so you have spoken something into existence. And now this person can prove to you that he was watching the fights. What's going on, 205?
What's going on, James? Who am I proving that I watched the fight to now?
Oh, man.
Come on, man. You know who it is, man.
Oh, man. Gotcha.
Mike Grady, did you watch the fight last night? Be honest.
Of course I watched the fight.
Which one?
Which one? I watched them all. Well, most of them.
Oh, come on.
I watched definitely both main cards. I watched the Asian guy. I watched most of the fights. Zhang,
okay.
Whatever his name.
The big Zhang. Chinese fellow.
Yeah. Would you like my synopsis on Devin Haney? Since that's my first fight of watching him fully.
Yes.
So, I have two trains of thought that I could potentially say. One was he stayed composed, you know, he used his jab, and he pretty much fought at a pace that he could fight at all night and win most of the exchanges. 90% of the exchanges. When you think about that, that is the mark of a disciplined fighter. So I think that bodes well for him. The one thing that I will say that I kept asking people, does Devin Haney not have another level that he can step up, that he can crank that mug into gear to? And so it wasn't until round 12 where he really started trying to put it in that higher gear. And so even if he would have started in round 11 putting it in the higher gear, I think the outcome would have just been – it might have been a little different. Maybe he don't have enough power to, but who knows. All I know was he was comfortable winning every exchange. The other train of thought is – well, that was the other train of thought. Does he have a separate gear? But when I look at him, what he did was he jabbed, boom, one jab. Reset, boom, one jab, right hand. Boom, one jab, right hand. He never threw two jabs. He never threw – you know, like, I look at him and I wonder, is he limited? Because he threw 1-2, 1-2, 1-1, 1-2, 1-2, no 1-1-2, no 1-3, no nothing like that, you know? And so, how many uppercuts did he throw?
you could count it on one hand.
One hand. So, My eye test, only seeing one fight of his, I don't know. Can he handle these other guys? Like, somebody made a point yesterday on James's live stream that everybody has enough flaws to where it would be difficult to judge whose flaws would get overcome the night of the fight. But if he ain't got power, okay, one thing I will say. He got speed. He's quick. He's elusive. He has that. But if he don't throw enough punches and it's like, and he don't throw big punches at the time that he need to throw big punches, can he keep these guys off of him? Like when they trying to crank it up and stuff. Like, does he have that next level? Like, I'm gonna liken it to.
I don't know.
Even Errol Spence and Keith Thurman. So both Errol Spence and Keith Thurman. Even though Thurman hadn't done this in years, but we all know that Keith Thurman at one point in time had a one-timer. We all know that if Keith Thurman hit you clean with that wide-ass shot that he throw, that it could potentially hurt anybody in that weight division, meaning that he ain't the best boxer in the world. You know, he's like really awkward, herky-jerky, that type of thing. But he does have something that keeps people honest, his movement. And I think he's very cerebral. Even though he's not as talented as other guys, he's cerebral. Errol Spence, we all know Errol Spence can box. We all know Errol Spence can hit you with them body shots and just bully you. We all know that. We also know Errol Spence don't move his head, but that's neither here nor there. But, you got those guys who has something that they can put it in another gear to keep guys off of them or keep guys honest. My question that I'm throwing back to you guys, does Devin Haney have that? Does he have that something to keep guys honest? For Shakur Stevenson, maybe it is his speed, but, you know, because speed translates into power. But is Devin Haney that fast to where he can throw a punch like Roy Jones? Roy Jones was fast and he had power too, but that's my question. Does he have that thing to keep people honest if he fight these other guys? Because I know Cabbage Patch Kid got it. help me out. Javonte Davis got it. Ryan Garcia has it, you know. Like, he's learning a lot from Reynoso. You can tell just even the mindset. You can tell, even though they setting him up for fights that you know he can win, you can see his mindset is – converging to Canelo's mindset, where Canelo go in the ring, and when Canelo get in his mind, I'm going to beat you, it's hard to beat him if your name not Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, like Floyd, yeah. Yeah, my thing about it is that, yeah, I just don't know if you see like a second gear out of Devin Haney, but he does like catch people. Just trying to get 267 on here to speak with us. What's going on?
What's good? Who was just talking?
That's Mike Grady.
Mike Grady.
Mike Gray. All right, so Mike, right? You seen one fight from that, right? I don't think this particular fight was a good judge of his ability. I think you should go back probably like the last five fights. You'll see more punch variation. He has this looping right hand that he does that I've seen him like clean people out, like knock them out cold with it.
Oh, my God. Who did he knock out? The fucking the guy was trash. Come on. This Devin Haney that we saw last night.
Whoa. A Philadelphia man's talking. Relax. Relax. Right. So, yo, I've seen him knock people out in sparring and in a fight with that particular punch. We're talking about punch variation, Matt. He was saying he only saw a couple specific punches. I'm telling him he has more than that. He has more than what he showed. Now, what people fail to realize is he's a lot younger. Like he just turned 21. So I don't think he has his man strength yet. And I don't think he's going to get it at 135. I think he won't get his man strength till 140, 147.
What are you about to get his ass
then? About who?
Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis, Teofimo Lopez, probably Javier Fortuna.
What kind of weed they got in New York, yo?
Bro,
you smoke? You on that gas? You on that gas, bro?
Devin Haney is straight up and down, no special effects. If you look at the way he fights, he is.
Now,
way
predictable. What the fuck? All right, so I'm going to ask you a question,
like
right?
Leo Santa Cruz.
I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. Because we all know you're one of the most biased boxing fans, right? You fall in love with a guy, you rock out. Okay, so if he's as sweet as they say he is, right, why nobody want to fight him? But Gary,
he ain't got no buzz. Cause he ain't got no. Ryan Garcia said it perfectly.
Hey you know what's funny is that when a dude is capable of beating you, there's always an excuse.
He ain't got no buzz. No, listen, nobody.
There's always an excuse, right? he has like 1600. First off, Devin Haney's more popular than Teofimo Lopez. Let's keep it a beat. Yes, he is.
Go look at the Google Trust. Ever since Devin Haney signed
he's coming off of a big performance. All right, so Matt. All right, so let's look at this. T.O.'s coming off of a big fight, right?
Yep.
Coming off of the biggest fight in his career. Teofimo Lopez.
Yep.
Let's type him in. Teofimo Lopez, 371,000 followers, right?
Followers.
Does that not equate to popularity?
Google Trends also equates to popularity, and he's laughing.
Devin Haney, 810,000 followers. So 810,000 people want to know what Devin Haney's doing. 371,000 people want to know what Teofimo Lopez is doing. Oh, my bad.
Okay.
He's from New York, so I guess that's you know, you're partial.
Teofimo Lopez fight was seen by over 3 million people. How many people watched Devin Haney last night?
Are you equating a subscription base? Are you equating a subscription based app to ESPN, which is regular cable? Is that what you want to say? That comes with a regular package?
Come on, bro. You
take that stuff to boxing updates, man. That stuff don't work here.
Eyeballs. So the 3 million that viewed them on ESPN, how many said, "Oh, let me check out more of this Teofimo Lopez guy." I wonder, is he on Instagram? Is he on Twitter? How does he still have less followers than Devin Haney on Twitter if he got a win over the so-called pound-for-pound god in Vasyl Lomachenko?
Because here's the thing that people don't understand.
Come on, come with an excuse. Deontay Wilder, come on.
The boxing social media circle, that is not a representation of the people who watch boxing in large numbers. We think it is because we're in our own little bubble. We all talk to each other.
Wait.
We talk to a reporter here or there. But it is not a reflection on who is really watching these fights.
So out of that 3 million, only about 300,000 have a social media account?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, listen.
Come on, Matt.
Not everybody,
make
not
it make sense, bro. Matt, make it make sense. Okay, let me ask you this. Wasn't that the first fight he ever had, Lomachenko?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Wasn't Lomachenko versus Lopez the first fight he ever headlined? Go.
Yeah.
What does that say?
That tells me that Top Rank didn't know what they had.
My God.
That's what that tells me. That's what that tells me.
Man.
You know, Devin Haney has never reached a 10 on Google Trends.
Okay, so he never reached a 10 on, Google Trends. But yet,
oh, so
yes, 500,000.
So Deontay Wilder reached
a 500,000
trend?
Yeah. Yes, 500,000 more people that care about his day-to-day.
Does he?
Yeah, I just told you. I just gave you the numbers.
You told me how many followers does he have. Here's what we know about followers. You can fake them.
Wait, what was that?
Well, maybe Tio need to start faking
followers.
Maybe Tio need to start faking.
Hold on, Matt. What did you say about that?
You could fake them.
Okay. That's all right. Just want to make that clear.
Hold on. Real Devin Haney, right? He has 810,000 followers on Instagram.
No.
Hold on.
Devin Haney. Say his name right.
Hold on. Do you know how many people liked his photo last night? Only 89,000. Okay. 93,000, 49,000, 36,000. Let's look at his video views.
Those sound good to me, right? JR, those sound good to
you.
How was that good with 810,000 followers?
It's not like he's showing titties, man. Where you from the Bronx, right? It ain't like in Sin City. It ain't like, you know what I'm saying? Come on, bro. Stop it, man.
Like, come on,
stop
bro.
It.
Yo, come on, bro.
Yo, I'm gonna just say this, right? Dev, all these guys need work. When Lomachenko started punching back at Tio, he looked like a fish out of water. Ryan Garcia hasn't fought a live dog yet. We got to see how he looks. All these guys, like I said last night, all these guys have deficiencies. And the only way we're going to find out how good they are, I'm tired of playing the triangle theory. Oh, well, I saw him in his last matchup. Get in the ring. Let me see it.
Yeah.
Let me see what it looks like.
Step in the ring.
No excuses. Right. No buzz. I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear about you dating a TikTok star. I don't give a fuck.
I'm good. I don't need to see Devin Haney on my TV screen no more. I call him Demetrius Haney. Okay? I don't need to see anything.
Wow.
I'm good.
At the end of the day, if he signs with Al Haymon, then he's the greatest fighter ever in Matt's house. Nobody trying to hear that shit, man.
online, you could dial in 347-237-5539 to get in on this debate. What were you saying there, Matt?
To me, if Devin Haney wants to get my eyeballs, he needs to change that dumbass trainer of a father he got, Bill Haney. Get
Damn.
Rid of him. Get a real trainer. He needs to get with Derrick James so he can know how to apply his offense. Okay? You cannot be a light hitter but only throwing 400 punches a fight. That's just not going to work. Okay, against these heavy hitters at 135.
Oh, wait. So you said you were going to Bobby Mason.
Dang, so you're saying that.
Sorry, what'd you say?
He wants him to go to Bobby Basic. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. That's a Derrick James fighter.
Devin
ABC. ABC. They're basic fighters.
Vanilla. The Devin Haney I saw is a base. He's a basic fighter. I'm telling you right now, that 1-1-2, 1-1-2, he is an uppercut waiting to happen.
You talking about one fight though. Now, are you telling me do they need to bring somebody in? I agree. I don't think Derrick James is the guy, but every Earl Spence stan like yourself think Derrick James is the answer to all that is boxing.
Derrick James is the best trainer in boxing.
Kick him off the show.
Come on, man. Derrick, come on,
he's
man.
Derrick.
He's
Earl Spence fans, man.
He
I tell
said
you.
That Derrick James is the best trainer there in boxing.
Yep.
Yeah, but come on, man. No, play
come
his
on.
Last. Play his last. He got to play his jaw, man.
Derrick James is the only trainer in boxing that has two unified champions. That's all I'm going to say.
And that makes you – come on, man. Come on.
Oh, is that like the only – ain't that like the only two fighters that he has on the stable?
So what you're telling me is that he's two for two.
Was he the best trainer in boxing? Was he the best trainer in boxing after Tony Harrison whipped Charlo ass? Did you think that too?
He didn't. Tony Harrison didn't. Oh my God. You know we're not gonna relitigate these poor judges' decisions. Jamel Charlo should be undefeated right now. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, whatever, man. Whatever.
And he said
are you
going to
tell me
rematch,
that he's
way.
Better than Eddie Reynoso?
Oh, yes. So here's why. And I love Reynoso, but Oscar Valdez and Frank Sanchez and Luis Neri has looked very poor since they got with Reynoso.
Ain't they been like there for like one fight?
Come
bro,
on.
Bro, I'm just letting you know the body of work. They've looked very poor since they got with him.
Did
now, whether
win?
Or not that's
oh,
going to improve over time, we'll see.
Did they
but
win?
I'm going to tell you what my eyes see.
Did they win?
Yeah, they won, of course.
All right.
Isn't that the main objective to win?
You play
yeah, but who are they
to
fighting?
Win the game. You don't play it to just,
I asked you is did they win? Isn't that the objective to win? Yes.
Hello.
No.
The objective is always to win.
Okay.
Well, I like to assign style points. I don't care
well,
what
the,
I do.
According to Bobby
well,
the Brain Heenan, the point is to always cheat, but that's a whole nother story.
You're right. Hey, JR, for some style points. Bring up 118 pounder, fight him at 130. I'm talking to JR right now. So bring up a 118 pounder, fight him at 130, right? get touched up for like six rounds, and then lay a devastating uppercut that everybody knew was coming. Like, like everybody knew it was coming. And that's how you get style points, right? Come on, man. This is a joke.
This guy, you sound like a hater. Leo, first of all, Leo was a long-reigning champion at 126.
Oh, that's because he wouldn't come near Gary, and you know it.
Okay, but you're making it seem like he went from 118 to 130 like fucking Rigo against Lomachenko. Let's keep it real. He's been at 126. He's been at 126. So don't make it seem like 4 pounds is a big difference. We already got too many weight classes in boxing as it is. Now we're going to cry over 4 pounds just because Leo got sent to hell. And the funny part is the way Leo got sent to hell is the exact same way Devin Haney will get sent to hell because they're the same fighter, except Leo throws more punches.
By who? Who's going to send him? Who's going to send Devin to hell? Fat Boy? Yo, are you serious? You can't even stay off the news. He going to beat Dev? You crazy.
Here's what I know. Devin Haney had every physical advantage against Gamboa, and he couldn't get him out of there. Not only could he not get him out of there, Gamboa landed more punches against Devin Haney than he did against Say. And he landed.
Did he do against who? I didn't hear that part.
He landed more punches against Haney than he landed against Tank. And he
Did he have one leg against Tank?
Did you watch him last night? He got no legs.
Did he have one leg against Tank? Yes? How long did it take Tank to knock him out? 12? Get out of my face, yo. Is this dude serious? Tell me he's joking, JR.
Gamboa was limping at the weigh-in.
He was stumbling in the ring
from round one.
Yo,
did you see them
on Twitter? You saw them on Twitter?
Oh my God.
I said you saw the argument on Twitter. Yes or no, Matt? Did you see it?
I've been sleeping all day, man.
Okay, so come on, Jay, I'm gonna say it to you, right? So on Twitter, Tank said everything under the sun, right?
Yep.
Except what? What didn't he say?
He said, "How come you don't want to fight?" Like, he didn't say he didn't want to fight.
He didn't say nothing about fighting.
Dev did.
Dude can talk. I said, you want to bring up everything else? Girls, what did you make? Your cars? You're a fighter, right?
Listen.
I don't care.
So you don't care about fighting? No.
You just want to talk about Google?
I don't care who he talks about fighting. Because he claimed he wanted to fight Gary Russell Jr., and we saw how his bitch ass did with that. So to me,
Tank don't want to fight either. So now what? Tank don't want to talk about fighting him, so now the one of them. His own promoter said, oh man, he's not going to fight them, ain't he? Why is that?
Because everybody knows Devin Haney does not move the needle. You got to understand something. This is called prize fighting. There has to be a prize. What's the prize for fighting Devin Haney? Nobody watching your fight.
Million.
Nobody
cares about
Devin Haney.
The way he's saying it, I guess it's over a million.
Hey, yo, I need to ask you this, right? Who the hell is checking for Leo Santa Cruz? Who's checking for Leo Santa Cruz? Did you watch Leo Santa Cruz last fight before this?
I did watch.
Who did you fight?
Miguel Flores on the Wilder undercard.
Exactly. Exactly. On an undercard.
Miguel Flores
on
Devin Haney's resume.
On an undercard. He's fighting on undercards, bro. But somebody cares.
Yo,
you want to tell somebody
you're
cares.
Fighting on a YouTube card?
That is true.
Come on, what are we
doing? That is true. That's a go.
Everything
Listen,
is, though,
I
mean.
Until you fight somebody.
Hey, yo. But since you want to talk about stuff, how do you move up and wait and still miss?
Yo, listen. Tank has discipline issues. He has discipline issues.
Are the cops still looking for
that ring?
I'm asking for
Hey, I don't know. I ain't getting no update.
I'm asking for him, yo. Are they still looking for it?
I ain't getting any updates about that crash.
Hey, listen, unless I got him on video, it wasn't him.
Okay. It looked like it was him on the video.
Listen, you just let me know if Devin Haney and his boys returned all the speakers that they stole out of the Clippers locker room. Okay?
Oh, no. Yeah, I haven't seen the updates yet. About
yeah, these
this
motherfuckers
thing.
Is breaking into locker rooms and shit, robbing Doc Rivers' office. Let's not talk about what they do off the court.
Thanks,
man. This is bad. Well, we'll see what happens in 2021. Like, these guys got to fight each other in 2021. Ain't no way around this, man. Ain't no way
no, around this. According to Matt, they don't got to fight.
They don't got to fight Fortuna.
Who?
Devin Haney got to fight Fortuna still.
Matt, don't let you do this again.
When is he going to fight Fortuna?
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Come on, man. I like Fortuna. I like anybody that's with PBC, actually.
Yeah, we know.
He's still bitter that Dev didn't sign. Yep. He's worse than Bob. Yep. I never thought anybody was as hurt as Bob was. Yep. Bob is never going to forgive Devin Haney. It's going to be 40 years from now.
Devin Haney, he should have signed with Top Rank. Now that he didn't sign with Top Rank, there's no way that he's going to fight any one of my guys. I'm blacking him out.
And let me ask you a question. Was Bob telling the truth? Please, where has Devin Haney been since he signed with Eddie Hearn?
Oh, he's telling the truth because it's today and not yesterday, huh? Oh, God, man.
I can't argue with the fact that you shouldn't have signed with Eddie.
I guess he said he wanted to be quote unquote his own boss, and I guess Eddie gave him that supposed opportunity. So
Eddie gave him the most money up front. That's what really happened. If you pay Devin Haney, who nobody cares about, $1 million a fight, he gotta take the deal. Whether or not he gets seen, that's on him.
Hey, that's basically on him. It's about getting that bread, man. It's about getting that bread. Of course, we had that supposed ghost knockout over in Los Angeles with Luis Ortiz. I don't know. I didn't see it. It must have been one of them phantom punches. Did anybody see it? Because someone said
he
hit a bicep.
He didn't get hit with a punch. What happened is Luis Ortiz knocked him like right on the orbital bone with his arm, and it temporarily blinded him. At least that's what he told. That's what he was telling the referee, that he can't see.
Oh man! So we got hit with a clothesline like JBL.
Yeah, It did hit him though, Jay. I looked at it probably like 4 or 5 times. He hit him with the in between part of the forearm and the bicep.
Yeah, he hit him with the JBL clothesline.
Yep, the JBL. Yep, he hit him with the JBL, man.
Yeah,
and Jay,
I'm not going to tell you
that. Year.
Yeah. I ain't going to tell you that there wasn't extra money deposited in his account. I'm not going to say there was. I'm not going to say there wasn't. I'm just saying he got hit with a clothesline, and then he was temporarily incapacitated. Go figure.
Like the only thing I know is that Luis Ortiz looked great last night, man, and I feel bad that he wasn't able to get a legit knockout. Because if you looked at him, he looked like he was about to have a great night to the ring in a full sweat. Like, he was warmed up. He was moving. He looked like he was ready to send him to hell early. So it was just unfortunate that things turned out the way that they turned out.
Yeah.
But I thought last night he put on a good performance.
So,
AJR, Matt, I got to go. He's talking nonsense. I got to leave.
Hey, listen, I'm just saying. I'm just saying what I
thought. Oh, come on,
sad,
man.
You look sad as shit.
Nah, but he wants up a good sweat, though.
He looked like 260. Come on, man.
He was only 241. Stop it. He was only 241.
This is
back.
He was only 241.
Nah, they ain't no 241. Come on, man.
He was 241, JR, I'm telling you.
He was shaped like a 60-year-old church lady, yo.
You gotta understand. He's an old guy, so his body's not that hard no more. But he was only 241. He was in good shape.
Yeah, I'm out. I love y'all. I'm out. I gotta go.
All right, man. Oh,
God,
come on, man. We're talking about Luis Ortiz. When is Luis Ortiz gonna fight someone the likes of a Charles Martin, man?
Early 2021.
Or even a Otto Wallin, man. So you think he's gonna get someone
fight
at that level?
That's a good fight, yeah. I think he's going to fight somebody good in early 2021. Listen, let's not forget, this fight yesterday was supposed to set up Luis Ortiz versus Andy Ruiz, but Andy Ruiz sat ass had to pull out of the card because he said he wasn't going to be ready because he wasn't in shape. It was supposed to be Ruiz versus Areola, Luis Ortiz on the undercard, and then they were going to set up Luis Ortiz versus Andy Ruiz in the first quarter of 2021. Not his fault that Andy Ruiz can't get in shape. You know, Luis Ortiz is a 40-year-old man, and he can still get himself in shape. Why can't Andy Ruiz, 28, 29? Why can't Andy Ruiz get himself in shape, you know? So it's not his fault. Whatever. We'll see who he fights next.
Andy Ruiz is 31.
Well, he need to get in better shape. If I'm Luis Ortiz, I'm asking if I can get put on that December 5th Errol Spence card. That's what I'm trying to do. I need to get on that Errol Spence card because he barely got any work in. Put him on that Errol Spence card.
Who they gonna dig up for him this time?
Michael Hunter.
Oh, no. Michael Hunter's not
Michael
gonna...
Hunter claims he's always ready.
Well, okay. If he says he's always ready, then let's see if they can make that fight, you know. But that might not be a good look for Luis Ortiz, though, because Hunter will make it be, you know, a sloppy. Well, I wouldn't say sloppy. He'll make it a rough fight for Ortiz, man. You know,
he needs one. He needs a rough fight. Wouldn't you have a lot more respect for him if he beat Michael Hunter?
Yeah, I would. I mean, at least he wouldn't be fighting these Alexander Floreses of the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, honestly, I never even heard of Flores.
Me either. Like, I didn't know, like, if he was, like, even, you know, shoot, he wasn't ranked anywhere. You know what I mean? So, yeah, why not have a fight against a Michael Hunter, man? Like, you're not going to fight he's not going to fight Frank Sanchez, even though Frank Sanchez wants that fight. But he's not fighting Frank Sanchez.
Yeah, but Frank Sanchez needs to fight his barber. His haircut was horrible. Holy shit, what was that? What was that?
Someone on the simulcast on YouTube says that Hunter beats Ortiz.
Maybe, maybe not. Let's see it.
Hey, I wouldn't mind seeing it, man. I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Yeah, let's see it.
So I think that, yeah, that should be one of the things on the list. Let's have a Luis Ortiz versus Michael Hunter fight. Yo, let's make it happen.
Yeah, Michael Hunter not doing shit.
Yeah, like, no one signing them, top ranking, you know, giving them a call. So why not, you know?
Yeah.
You know, why not PBC give them a call? Also, that was on PBC in the middle of the co-feature bout in the main event. They were talking about the news of El Campeon.
Yeah.
We've been saying it for weeks and weeks and weeks. Free Canelo. And this week, well, basically last week, it was official. Canelo is free. He's free. I was free. Oh, my bad. His trainer and manager, Eddie Reynoso, part of the Canelo team, posted on Instagram that Canelo is a free agent, number one. And number two, he's in the gym training, preparing himself for a fight. And for me, that means that he may possibly be available for a fight. I would say either December 19th or December 26th. It wouldn't be the 12th because I think that, you know, the 12th, they have a Showtime card already on the 12th.
Not sure about that Showtime card.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Are they going to say? Are they going to say, "Hey, Nordine, let me holler at you right quick. See, what had happened was we plan on having this fight on December 12th, but we got this guy, and his name is Canelo Alvarez, and there's a possibility that we may have this guy. So if we get this guy, your fight with Nonito Donaire is going to be pulled."
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is if they can Canelo versus Caleb Plant fight, I think they're going to put Donaire versus Ubali on the undercard.
They can do that. My thing is, will they do that and have it on the 19th instead of the 12th? Because
yeah, it'll be
we'll
on the 19th.
See. Yeah, because
according to BoxRec, because it's already listed on BoxRec, Canelo versus Plant is happening the 19th. From what I understand about BoxRec, these fight events are basically uploaded by the lead promoter. So to me, once you see it on BoxRec, it's a done deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So that means that here's the other thing too. Have you heard much from Caleb Plant? Nope.
Well, we see him on Instagram. He said he's ready for any man.
Oh, he's ready for any man, or he's ready for the man, as in the Canelo man.
Well, who knows? You know what Caleb Plant, he needs like an 8-month training camp. So who knows what Caleb Plant, man? Who fucking knows?
But here would be my thing about this particular fight, right? With it being a fight of this magnitude, oh shoot, that's right, I forgot this, that Canelo has a title at super middleweight. But how is that going to work?
Unification.
Like, how is that going to work when Callum Smith is a super champ? That's gonna be funny.
You need to play that Stephen A. Smith to Callum Smith. Nobody cares about Callum Smith.
Nobody cares about Callum Smith.
Nobody cares about Callum Smith.
Nobody cares about
Callum Smith. Let's keep it real.
So what that could mean is if they actually had this fight against Canelo Alvarez and Caleb Plant, then David Benavidez could probably get his WBC title back.
Yeah, what I think is going to happen is you're going to have Plant versus Canelo for the WBA IBF. You're going to have Benavidez versus Yildirim for the vacant WBC. And then you're going to have a 3-belt unification with Canelo, Cinco de Mayo. If Jermall Charlo doesn't move up to 168.
Which could be a very good chance, especially if you do have that Canelo Plant fight. If Canelo does fight Plant,
they want Charlo.
So I think that's going to be it. You know that you're gonna have Jermall Charlo move up once they announce, because I think the announcement for this fight is going to happen. What do you say, Tuesday or Wednesday?
I would say sometime this week. If I'm Canelo, I'm waiting till the end of the week to announce it.
Probably
so about
around.
What do y'all think
of
Canelo playing? What y'all think of that fight?
Oh, come on. That's barbecue chicken alert.
He's saying Canelo is KO1. That's what he's saying.
Definitely not KO1.
Listen, Caleb Plant ain't got nothing for Canelo.
But I thought he was supposed to be like the what do they call him? The Vanilla Mayweather or whatever it was, something.
Yeah, but this Canelo.
Caleb Plant pretty sleek though.
But this is Canelo. Canelo's pretty slick, too. Ask Danny Jacobs.
I thought that was a pretty good tactical bout between those two. But, you know, the thing with Jacobs, he, like, you know what, I'm not gonna go into it because I actually like this particular person, but, like he was the wrong guy for Danny in that fight. Yeah, this is going to be, the 19th. I feel like they want to put it in AT&T. You know, they want to have fans.
Oh, yeah.
So that AT&T joint will be sold out. Top dollar.
It better not be no damn open score. We know what happens with that. At least make me think he got a chance to win the fight. I know he ain't gonna win on the scorecards, but I'm just saying don't take my attention away like in the first 5 rounds.
Yeah. That would be bad, man. That would be bad. Oh jeez, man. Yeah, I don't know. We know that Caleb is gonna be up for this fight, but like Matt said, it's Canelo.
It's Canelo, man. Come on. Canelo been in the gym since he knocked out Sergey Kovalev.
Yeah, but I don't see Canelo sending Plant straight to hell like you sent Kovalev to hell.
Hey, I think so. I think so. And Plant got a big ass head too. That's a nice target for Canelo. Yep.
He might have a chance to stop him.
Yeah.
I mean that's the possibility right there, is that Canelo gets the stoppage. He, you know, comes at by champ, and I think it's got to be that on Showtime, man. I think it's gonna be what, Showtime, like pay per view.
Yeah, man. Probably.
So, you probably had like the settlement. The settlement is probably like about $40 million something buyout. Like he is a free agent, he can go wherever he wants. He can do it on a fight by fight basis. And this will be Showtime pay per view, man. And he'll get pretty much around that range for this particular fight with the pay per view back in. So. Canelo's the money joint.
Only thing about that fight is that, like, Matt said this without saying it, but I'm reading your mind, Matt, because I don't know if Caleb Plant has, like, I don't know if you said this verbatim, but I don't know if he got much to keep Canelo off him. Like, he's slick, don't get me wrong. He can move. I think that he knows where to move. But Ficken Butts, you remember Ficken Butts? I was actually at that fight. Ficken Butts was, like, missing by an inch. The inch is what matters, right? Like, a lot of people miss Floyd by an inch. So that could be telling in that maybe Caleb Plant is that good to make people miss him by an inch. But I just – Ficken Butts still was coming. He didn't stop coming when Caleb Plant was hitting him with everything that he had. So Canelo's going to come with the body – attack to slow him down, and I just don't know if Plant hits hard enough to get Canelo's respect. If he does, then we're going to have another disappointing fighter on our hands, like disappointed in that at the end of the fight, he might make a good account of himself, but like Matt said, it's Canelo, so politics as usual.
Here we go. Already finding a way to take credit away from Canelo. Here we go.
118-110 Canelo.
Here we go.
Oh man, Adelaide Bird on the line. No, I'm kidding. So you might have a possibility of one, you having this fight between Canelo and Plant, and if Jamal moves up, then you could have Jamal Charlo against David Benavidez.
Oh. No, Yildirim has to have his title shot.
Oh, okay. He can have his title shot. Just make sure that fight happens by January. And then we'll have Jamal Charlo against David Benavidez at 168. That would be a crack of a fight. Yeah, that would be a crack of a fight right there. You know, I mean, at least Jamal will be at his weight. Because I just think he is a guy at 168, fighting at 160. He used to be fighting at 154, but, you know, that is what that is, man.
Man, I can't wait for this announcement.
Yeah, me, this super middleweight, man, so... Yeah, maybe I should post a tweet that through the source of Box Rec, Canelo Alvarez will fight Caleb Plant for the unified title.
Yep.
So let me ask you.
Tag Box Rec.
What 168 fighters are there that are on PBC that are like there for the taking, journeyman, because I think that would be the most likely scenario where they give Canelo somebody that he can beat up on
And then after that, that's when he gets, you know, the upper tier PBC guys. Like, I think they're going to give him.
They're not going to have a Rocky Fielding moment in this instance. They're not going to like have him like saved by the Caleb Truax or
Come on.
Yeah, then like they'll have a finger bust level guy against Canelo. Nah, that's
I
not
mean,
gonna happen.
To me, if they're gonna say they're gonna have Canelo fight somebody with less notoriety, then that's gonna be Yildirim
for the vacant WBC belt. That would be the only other option. Because that's it. Those are basically the two fights that he has at, you know, super middleweight. Either him against Plant or him against Yildirim. You know, so basically is what it is in that scenario for Alvarez, man.
I mean, unless they want to send Alfredo Angulo to hell one last time for the road.
They don't want that, man. They don't want that. Oh, but what else is it that? Yeah, I think this thing is going to be the 19th, and that what is it? The fight that's on the 12th against Bali Dener. That's going to be part of that. Card between Plant and Canelo. Not really. Nope, they don't. And I don't know if it's like really been announced yet, but I think Top Rank is gonna have, you know, they're gonna have that card. They're gonna have Shakur on for the 12th because of Yeah, that Valdez fight against Burchell, that's not going to happen on the 12th. So,
yeah, but Valdez don't want to fight Shakur.
We know he don't want to. You know why he don't want to fight Shakur, man. He didn't want to fight him at featherweight. So, you had Shakur there as number one contender while Valdez has the title. And then Valdez moved up. Shakur gets the title, barely even has one fight with the belt, and says he's moving up. And now that he's moving up, Valdez does not want to fight. He still don't want to fight Shakur Stevenson, man. So they're going to have an opponent there for Shakur Stevenson at, you know, 130 pounds. I think the real big baby is going to be part of that fight card too. So, I don't know. Maybe he's going to fight like Andrew Cancio or somebody like that in that fight card, man. Yeah,
probably
know, something
be
like that. Or it might be Abraham Nova. Might be it.
Probably Cancio.
Yeah, it's going to be fight. Yo, it'll be nuts if he fought like Lamont Roach or something. But Lamont Roach is with Golden Boy, and of course you know how they treat fighters. And Golden Boy
Golden Boy used to save all their fighters for the zone.
Yeah, they might not even exist after 2 months. So good luck to them. You know what I mean? Good luck to them. Jeez, man. Next week, Crawford against Brook. Apparently, they're supposed to have a conference call tomorrow with both of those guys on it. Supposed to be tomorrow afternoon. And they're going to have, like, Maloney on there and Joshua Franco, man. So, we're going to see, like, how, these guys are going in this particular bout on Saturday night. So I need to check those numbers for Brooke, man, because they're still looking like you could probably get a good return if you put some on Brooke, but hey, I don't know, man.
I'm looking
at, let me ask y'all this.
Yep.
Go ahead.
looking at my FanDuel account, and Brook was still plus 1,200.
Oh. Yeah, I think that was around the same thing. Well, 12. Oh, that's FanDuel. I thought it was like some other thing. It was 1,400. So.
Shit, you put $10 down.
This man said $10. Oh my God. You might as well not return.
Yo, you gotta go hard or go home, Mike.
I'm trying to say. Hey, if I put $10 down and I get 140, tell me nothing.
Mike, you're talking to someone that put down 100 on Lopez and got back 1,200. So, yo, you gotta go hard and go home.
Yeah, you gotta go hard and go home, man.
Hey, man. Let me ask y'all this: since Terrence Crawford talking about that he's leaving Top Rank, do you think they gonna pull an old Manny Pacquiao him and screw him?
No, I think if he loses, it'll be legit.
If he loses, it's going to be what?
It'll be legit.
If it goes to the scorecard, I think he might lose.
Yeah, but if it goes to the scorecard, he probably had a bad fight. So he probably deserved to lose.
Maybe, but I think in the case it goes to the scorecard, Bob is going to want him to come back and fight for that title again. Like Blueprint 101.
Nah, I think I don't think so. Honestly, I think if he loses, it'll be more than fair. I think the fight will be close enough that no one's gonna complain.
Oh man. Someone on this chat says that he says that Brook is stopping Crawford in 10 rounds.
I mean, would that really be surprising?
I mean, hey, if Brook is able to weather the storm in the first 5 or 6 rounds and gets the better of Crawford in multiple occasions, hey, they could
so
be
let's
in
say
the cards.
Let's say Crawford don't look great in this fight, and it's a really competitive fight. What does that say about Crawford as compared to who else knocked out? Well, he beat Sean Porter. So that's it. Sean Porter and Errol Spence, the only one, the other two who fought him, right?
Yeah, 147, yeah.
So what does that say about him if he has a super competitive fight? I guess it don't say nothing because Sean Porter lost to him too. It just says that it's a competitive fight because Sean Porter lost to him as well. So I don't think it really says anything other than that Errol Spence is probably
likely going. I mean, some people might bring up, Crawford being the one that's coming up from, like, a lower weight class to, 147. But it's been, like, how long since he's moved up, you know?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be set in that, 147-pound weight. So, you having this fight against Kell Brook and you get, struggle against Alexa Brooke, man, I don't know, man. It's been 2 years that he's been at, 147. And he, pretty much floats around at or around the weight limit. So, and on top of that, they were talking about him, possibly fighting at 154 pounds. So, he kind of walks around at the 150s. He has to walk around the 150s now. So,
no
hey.
Excuses. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You either win or you don't. No excuses.
Yeah, that's the thing about it, man. You've been out there at 147. So either you take care of business or you're basically losing to somebody that they feel is a huge underdog against you or a sizable underdog against you. So. Yeah, that's the thing on that one, man. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
No one, you either win or you don't.
Yep, sure. And I was hoping that whatchamacallit would get back at me today. Sister Tika Hemingway, like she won her first professional fight last night in Rock Hill, South Carolina. So props to her for getting her first win. There, we're going to see like how she moves on with the rest of her career. You know, had like some, I had some convo with, of course, Mr. Rick. And I ain't talking about Rick Glazer, man. I'm talking about, of course, the Rick, Rick Ross. His guy.
His guy
Nafir Charles won his fight over at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. Got a first round stoppage in that bout. So he's kind of like trying to get him some work. We'll see how that goes in that. But
I'll stop complaining about Rick Ross being in boxing since we do have the Irish mob in boxing now. So I guess I can't really complain no more.
Bro is what, 60 years old?
Come is on, he really? Man.
Yeah.
Damn. God damn, that motherfucker old.
Yeah, I mean he's been out there for a while, bro. Like, hey.
Yeah. I guess. Can't hold stuff against people forever, I guess.
Man. Yo, that means that that just takes away like everything that was going to be on for the 21st. There isn't really nothing on the 21st, man. So,
nah, it's over for that.
Yes, yeah, it's a wrap. It's a wrap for that.
So why ain't Rick Glazer been on the show in a while then?
Man, he's
you didn't take his side. You didn't take his side the last time he came. What Matt said, I didn't hear you, man. I was talking, hearing myself.
No, don't nobody give a fuck about Rick Glazer.
That's true.
Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe he has to. Don't he also have something with MTK going?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Why are people legitimizing this man? That's what I need to know.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just he just keeps getting chances, you know, here and there. So it is what it is, man. Oh, boy. All right, God damn, I know we got 60 seconds in this live joint, man. I don't even think we really got much else to, go through as far as, like, overtime. So, Mike, just wrap it up. Wrap it up. Early because I was – wrap it up, B. I mean, we're just so underwhelmed by this weekend's action. So, it is what it is in that instance, man.
Let me ask a question for you before you close it out, JR.
All right.
Was the Devin Haney fight boring to y'all?
Absolutely.
Okay, I was wondering because it was. I ain't going to say I expected more, but I just.
Oh, damn.
Maybe if he was a heavyweight, I would have. I would have been okay with just like one punch, like one jab, two. You know, that type of stuff, but
yeah,
I just wanted to see him crank. I wanted to see round 12 in at least round 10, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to see round 12 and like round 6, to be honest.
Exactly. You got to get people out of there.
Like, how is it that you could, have a performance that you did against Zohra Abdullayev or like how you had against Antonio Moran, but you don't have something where you go through 12 rounds with, Uriorkis Gamboa like that. And it's not that you go 12 rounds against Uriorkis Gamboa. It's that you didn't do much of anything to where you seriously hurt Gamboa.
Exactly. He barely hurt his feelings.
like no type of, you know, complete punch variation. Like, I didn't see, like, you know, I didn't see, like, a double left hook. I didn't see, like, a hook uppercut combo. I didn't see, like, a jab, right cross, left hook. Like I was saying, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Like, you gotta be more than that if you want to garner the interest of people seeing you fight. Like, you can't be, here's my thing, right? Like you were saying, as far as, like, the payout goes, it's one thing to have a payout where you're guaranteed to have this much money coming, but you can't have a main event at the MGM National Harbor and then follow that with the main event at the theater in Madison Square Garden, and the people that go to the fight at Madison Square Garden are more interested, way more interested in the co-feature bout. That can't happen. That can't happen. So you mean to tell me that the co-feature bout was the one that got people to get tickets to go to your fight? If that didn't happen, how many people would be at the theater in Madison Square Garden to see you fight Zohar Abdullaev? Like, you gotta be real about that. So that's why it's like when a Tank Davis is able to garner a pay-per-view event, even outside of him garnering pay-per-view events, like when he was main event in shows, he got people to attend. You can't compare main eventing at the Hard Rock, Semelo Hard Rock Casino, or the theater at Madison Square Garden, when Tank Davis main events at the, you know, the over in Atlanta, and
exactly
Phillips Arena, whatever it is in Atlanta, and that thing is almost packed. Can't do that, you know. So he's gonna have to get to a point where, like I was saying, immediately after the fight, he may have to fight get something where he has a highlight reel against a Jorge Linares or, you know, Richard Gomez or something like that, you know? So, but what, hey, Matt, wasn't it you that said that he needs to break away from Bill Haney?
Yeah.
He's breakaway from Bill Haney.
Nobody's
going to want to
say it because that's his daddy. That's his daddy. Nobody wants to say it. But he got to go.
Yeah, man.
Gotta go, man.
Yes, because he's like he like Bill Haney made Devin look real bad in that whole PR stuff, man. You know,
talking all that shit.
Last 8 weeks plus, or that 8 week period, that was just bad, real bad. You know, so that's something that they definitely have to clean up. Folks are talking about how the relationship between Teofimo Lopez Jr. and Tio Sr. Let's see, look at this. Like, how,
exactly.
Like, you see how bad that is, but hey, they'll figure that out somehow. I guess right now they on ESPN, they're starting the whole thing with the buildup of the Crawford Brook fight. They have the special on ESPN now with Terrence Crawford, if anyone wants to see it. On that note, I'm breaking out for now. We'll have it jumping off once again next Sunday on the 15th. And like I say at the end of every show, folks, Point of Boxing is the hit and I can hit, not the send and trade. On that note, folks, I'm out. Have a good evening, everybody.
Bomb squad, baby.